Well, good morning to you. Thank the Lord we're able to be here again today. Thank the Lord for all you that are here and all those that are listening in by the way of the internet as we continue to look at our study about what happens to individuals when they die, saved and unsaved. This morning, we want to kind of focus on those of us who are saved. We'll wrestle this thing around this week, trying to figure out where to start. I asked Brother Billy while ago if he didn't want to teach Sunday school this morning. He didn't volunteer, so, so I reckon that means that I'm going to have to do this. But I told him, I said, I started out going to do about one lesson on this thing, and it's got to be a series. And, you know, I'm down here and the water's up there, so I'm drowning in it. So. But it's amazing what's in God's Word, though, when you go to searching it and searching a subject. But I appreciate you putting up with me as we go through this study. Main objective is that hope and pray that the Lord will reveal something to you during this study that you didn't know before. So you've gained some knowledge about Him. Now, 1 Corinthians 15th chapter, we're going to start. I ask you to turn there. And bow with me in a word of prayer, and then we'll look at this study together. Lord, again today, as we do each day of our lives, we come to you, Lord, asking that you would be with us this day. But Lord, this day is a little different than the others because in my situation, Lord, I've opened your precious word to talk with those who are present and those who are listening. And Lord, I know that within myself, I can bring no truth from your precious word. It must be done by the leadership of the Holy Spirit. The natural man comprehendeth not, they're spiritually discerned. So, Lord, we'd ask that you'd lead, guide, and direct this morning. Take me out of the way, put your precious word, and let your Holy Spirit work. I thank you for each one who's present and each one that's listening in. I ask that we would grow in our knowledge of thee today. Thank you, Lord, for the rain that you've sent. Thank you, Lord, for the blessings of life. How kind and how gracious and how precious you are. Bless this time of study now. Maybe we be humble that you might be exalted, that we might again give praise and honor and glory to your precious and holy name. In the name of Christ, we do pray. Amen. Now, as we begin this morning in Corinthians, we have a subject that's mentioned many times of talking about soul sleep. So, I want to look at some things that Christ said about sleep. And I think that we can clarify something fairly soon in this process. So I'm going to look at several scriptures as we start. I'm going to start in the middle of what I thought I was going to do and back up, I guess. So anyway, in Corinthians chapter number 15, excuse me, and verse number 6. And it says, after that he was seen above. Now, we're talking about after the resurrection of Christ, okay? After that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present. And look at the next phrase. Start with the word what? But. Pay attention when you see that. But what? But some are fallen asleep. Why would Paul write that statement? So I want to follow a trend now, look at some things this morning. Now, do you think this has reference to a living person or just a person that fell asleep? Or a dead person? So you keep that thought in mind. It says some are falling asleep. Now, sleep is, according to Weber, is to rest the body and the mind. So keep that thought in mind. Sleep is to rest the body and the mind. And here it says that they're referred to as falling asleep. Next reference we want to look at is in Corinthians when we're there. I want you to back up to number 11. And this has to do with taking the Lord's Supper wrongly. But we will address just one verse. In verse number 30, chapter number 11. For this cause, many are weak. And if you want to see the cause, back up and read those scriptures. That we could do another lesson on that. It says, for this cause, many are weak and sickly among you. And many do what? Sleep. Now, what do you think that's a reference to? Do you think that's in reference to resting your body and your mind? Or do you think that's a reference to being dead? Now, if you look at it, pay attention to that verse now. Look at the wording of this verse. For this cause, many are what? Weak. All right. Then the next, it says, many are what? Sickly. And then it says, and many are dead. So it don't look to me like any of those words in that verse refer to lying down and going to sleep and resting. Since you're in chapter, in 1 Corinthians, in chapter number 15 again, we'll read some familiar scriptures to you this morning as we go through and look at this. In chapter number 15 and verse number 51, he said, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all do what? Sleep. But we shall be changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye at the last trumpet. For the trumpet shall sound, and the sleep shall rise incorruptible. What does that say? And the dead shall rise incorruptible, and we shall be changed. So here in the same verse, it has reference to sleep, and it has reference to dead. Keep that thought in mind now. We're going to continue. Verse number 51 has reference to sleep. Verse number 52 has reference to dead. Same individual. Go to Thessalonians. And we'll read a few verses in Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians, in chapter number 5. I'll get there in a minute. Just hold on. Chapter number 4 is what I want, not chapter number 5. 1 Thessalonians, chapter number 4, verse number 13. Starts with the word what? But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are what? Asleep. That ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. Now we'll look at several verses as we go through this. So verse number 13 says sleep. Verse number 14. And if we believe that Jesus died and arose again, even so them also which sleep. Now we're going to have some emphasis about those that he's referring to. And they say it's those who sleep where? In Jesus. Now it's very important that you pay attention to that statement. They're asleep where? They're asleep in Jesus. That sheds a lot of light on this study. It has reference to them being asleep in Jesus. And it says, will God bring with him? For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are what? Asleep. Verse number 16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and the trump of God, and the what? Dead in Christ shall rise first. Are we talking about the same individuals here or not? We're talking about the same individuals in these verses. And in most of these verses, it refers to them as being asleep. But it also refers to them in these verses, in the verses prior to what we've read, that they're also what? Dead. Okay? You still with me? All right. Why did God reference in his precious word the fact that these people are both asleep and dead? It depends on how we perceive it and how God perceives it. Time is not a factor with God, none whatsoever. Now, I want you to go back with me to John. If you want to hold your place in Corinthians there in the 15th chapter, we're going back to it, Lord willing, in a little bit. But I want to let you look at something in John chapter number 4. And we're going to read a familiar story in chapter number 4. But I want us to look at some things in that. I think, Paul, you about this story too. I think that's the reason that we have reference to both death and asleep in these verses that I've just read to you. Because I think his mind might have gone back here. And he was referenced to how Christ sees things and how we see things. Story about Lazarus. Now, I said this morning that I wanted to talk to you if you this morning are saved by the marvelous grace of God, sins forgiven, receive the promises of God, and know heaven's your home. That's who I'm talking to this morning. We will go back, Lord willing, and address the lost in the same manner. Okay? Now, if we look in John, and we begin to look at the account of Lazarus. I want us to pay attention to some things that took place in this particular story, because I think it's very important. What chapter is Lazarus' death in John, bro? What chapter is Lazarus' death in John? What chapter is that? It's 11 is what it is. I wrote it down wrong. It's chapter 11. Yeah. Too many things. I was running on a goose chase, was not. A few things that I'd like for you to look at as we look at this together. You know, can't remember anything, can you? In chapter number 11 and verse number 1, now a certain man was sick, named what? Lazarus, okay? Now Mary comes to him in verse number 2, and this is the Mary that anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And Lazarus is her brother, and he, in verse number 2, says he's sick. Verse number 3 is where I want you to begin to pay attention to something. Therefore, his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, he whom thou lovest is sick. Couple of words in this verse I want you to pay attention to. Lord, behold, latter part of the verse, he whom thou what? Lovest is sick. Are you and I in the love of God this morning, or are we under the judgment of God? If you're a child of God this morning, you're under His love and His grace and His mercy. And here we have reference that He's sick, but He's one that you love. Does He love you? Does He love me? Without question, how do we know He did, that He does? Because He died for us. And Jesus said, when Jesus heard that, He said, this sickness is not unto what? Death. Now, the definition of death, according to Webster, is the act of dying. And here it says this is not to death. Okay? But it's for some other reason. And what reason is it? But for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. And you and I are for His glory. Okay? And it says, now Jesus, verse number 5, does what? Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So He loves the whole family. Well, are we not the family of God? Are we not brothers and sisters in Christ? Does He not love every one of us? and care about each and every one of us? Sure he does. Now let's go down to verse 11. These things said he, that's Jesus, after that he saith unto them, our friend Lazarus, next word, sleepeth. But I go that I may awake him out of what? Sleep. You let these words soak in now. Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I'm going to wake him up. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleepeth, he shall do what? Well. Going slow so you can let this soak in. If he's asleep, everything's fine. He's doing well. He's resting. Howbeit, Jesus spake of his what? His death. But they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest in sleep. So what did Christ know? Christ knows that he's dead. But by what Christ said, what do the disciples know or think? That he's alive. And he just rested. He's just sleeping. Verse number 13 says, howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest in sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And I am glad for your sake that I was not there, to the intent you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. So now he's on his journey toward Martha, Mary's house. Now let's skip on over to verse number 39. He has now gone to Martha and Mary's house. Maybe I need to back up for just a moment and read a couple more verses. It's hard to go back to 22, but I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of the Lord or of God, God will give it thee. Now, here we have Martha to Jesus. And Jesus said unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the what? In the resurrection, in the last days. So what does she have reference to here? What is she thinking about? See, she's thinking about the resurrection of the believers. And she knows that there's going to be a resurrection of the believers in the last day. She knows that's coming. And she knows that Lazarus, her brother, will be a part of that resurrection. But what we're fixing to see now is we're going to see an example that Christ is going to set forth of that resurrection that's going to come in the last days as we look at this together. And Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Yeah. Now let's go down to 30, verse number 38. And Jesus therefore again groaning in himself cometh to the grave. It was a cave and a stone laid upon it. So now where are we? We're at a grave. Well, who do you put in graves? Dead people. So Lazarus is what? He's dead. Not only is he dead, he's been dead for a while. How long has he been dead? He's been dead 4 days. Now, they didn't have the same embalming capabilities back then as they do now. So decay starts in a hurry in these times. And Jesus said, take away the stone. And Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Now notice all the references she has is dead, dead, dead. Okay? And Jesus, he'd been dead long enough. If you roll this stone back, you're going to know it. Because you're going to have smelling proof of it that he's dead. And Jesus said unto her, said I not unto thee, if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God. There is one stipulation. Just one. Two. Martha, that she must do to see the glory of God. And it's what? Believe. What's the stipulation for you and I if we want to see the glory of God? You know, the plan of salvation is real simple, is it not? Real, real simple. Christ says, I am the way, I am the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. And if Jesus Christ does not introduce you to God Almighty, you will never see God Almighty. It's through Christ and Him only. Just hang in there, Martha, and believe you're going to see something. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. Notice the reference right on is dead 4 times. Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee, thou hast heard me. I knew that thou heardest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I say it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a what? He's going to come back with what? A trumpet's going to sound. I don't think that's going to be a little bitty silent tune when it sounds. He said he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. And Jesus said unto them, "Loose him and let him go." When he stepped out of the grave, now notice he called him by name. What happened if he'd have said, "Come forth," at that graveyard? It'd been just like it's going to be when he blew that trumpet. And he says, "Y'all come on, it's going to be y'all. It ain't going to be a one, it's going to be y'all." But he's going to call every one of us by name. Every one of us by name. You're going to hear your name called. I'd love to hear it before we finish. Now, there stands in grave clothes. Why is he not standing there without grave clothes on? Why is he still wrapped in grave clothes? Go with me over to Corinthians. Let's look at something. I want you to go back to 1 Corinthians again. I told you to hold your place. I want you to go back to the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians. Let's go back to where we were reading a while ago. But I want to start this time at verse number 54. So when this corruption shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality. Now, notice the phrase, shall. That's future for you and I. We're still in an old and corrupt body. It's when it shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass. So we've already run up to the present in a hurry, have we not? And all of a sudden, the present's going to be in the past. The rapture, all our old mortal bodies are going to be gone. It's going to be in the past. We'll have a new body, likened to his body. He says, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. The sting of death is sin. And the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the what? The victory through who? Jesus Christ our Lord. So y'all get the grave clothes off of him. What does that represent? Old devil, where is your sting? Old grave, where is your victory? Death will have no hold over us when God calls us home. And as we've looked at that, looked through this morning, we have seen that when Christ thinks about his children. And he thinks about physical death. That he looks at this old body that's going back to the dust and the dirt. And he looks at it like it's just a little time of rest and sleep. And I'm going to give you a new one on the resurrection morning. Death has no hold over you. The devil has no hold over you. The grave has no hold over you. And if you're living when I die, and they take me over yonder across the road, and they drop me in a hole in the ground, and they throw dirt on me, the only thing that's going to be there is this old body that you see that I live in, but the everlasting living soul that's saved by the marvelous grace of God is not going to be gone to his presence. Now, our time's gone today, but next Sunday, I want to show you that absent from the body is present with the Lord if you've done like he told Martha, just do what? Believe. God bless you, and thank you for being with us this morning.